Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Sunday, October the 24th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, Halyna Hutchins. The cinematographer was killed on set in the last few days by Alec Baldwin, who discharged a revolver on set, having been informed that it didn't have any live rounds of ammunition in it. That obviously was not the case. On this episode, a look at Halyna Hutchins, the cinematographer, and the legal ramifications now for all involved in this death. That coming up next. Dear listener, I hope you're well, and thank you for joining me here. Thank you for joining me. You know, this is one of those episodes that I have to actually, I think I'm going to be careful. I think I have to be careful. Look, this is a case that's ongoing. I'm someone who is an attorney, so I should know, certainly know better than to start speculating about things. But I am going to do this, but I want to get to that, what I'm going to do later. I think you already know if you listen to the start of this episode, the introduction. I did say that I was going to talk about some of the legal issues and matters that could well be not only presented, but that are absolutely swirling around all of this. But, you know, first I want to remark about someone who had so much more to live, you know, so much more to live for and so much great work ahead of her, the cinematographer. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, and I apologize to you in advance for not doing so. Her name was Halyna Hutchins. She was a cinematographer, and she has a website that I would like you all to take a look at. It's Haly, N as in North, A-H, U, T as in top, C as in cat, H, I, N as in north, S as in south, D as in delta, P as in Petersburg.com. You need to go to that website. Take a look at the work that... Take a look at the work that she did, you know? And you can see her influences. I can see her influences. I can see a little bit of Alfred Hitchcock in there. I can see a little bit of Akira Kurosawa in there. I can see a little bit of David Lean. I mean, these are all directors, but, you know, cinematographers give you these looks that other directors have treasured and utilized. And, you know, I can see some of the great work of someone, you know, like a Sven Nyquist, who is no longer with us either, cinematographer. I can see numerous other people here, you know, in these, you know, I can barely talk. I do feel a profound sense of sadness. You know, I said this before with people who have passed. I want you to go to her website, would you please? It's Halyna or Halyna Hutchins DP.com. That's Halyn as in North, A as in Apple, H as in hot, U as in under, T as in top, C as in charge, H as in horizon, I as in indigo, N as in north, S as in south, D as in delta, P as in Petersburg. www.ShaniaLeeFilms.com. I want you to go there and I want you to take a look at the work that she has left behind. It's really lovely. And it makes me sad, actually, because I know that she's no longer here. And I do want to make sure that you... I just want to make sure that you do go to this... I don't know if you were going to go. But I would like you to go to this website, please, dear listener. And type that into your phone or your iPad or your laptop or whatever device it might be. And just take a look for a few minutes at her work, at Helena Hutchins' work. You will see five categories: the narrative category, the commercial category, the real, R-E-E-L, category, about and contact. And you just click on all of those. Click on the commercial, click on the real, R-E-E-L. R-E-E-L. And there's a nice, there's a very nice image there of a woman, foreground and in reflection in the background. 2 minutes and 15 seconds of video, and you can click on the commercials that she's done and shot that she did. And, you know, these are really, it's really, the images are beautiful and natural. And I think there's something tender about this too, and how it seems to me that in looking at, and I'm someone who talks about film a fair bit, has written about film for many years, and is a film critic, although I need to, as I said before, I need to jump back into a lot more of it, do it a lot more often than I have been lately. But as you look at that website, I'm not giving anything away, but as you look at that website, you can tell that Helena Hutchins really liked people, and she really, I think she truly cared about people. And I didn't know Helena Hutchins. I'm only saying, dear listener, that just by looking at this, the imagery that she's put up here, you know, it's really sad. And I think what I am feeling here, I think you can tell this, is overwhelming sadness about a life taken like this. And again, I feel this way about any life that is taken, especially lives of people who look like I do, you know, because this stuff is horrible. You know, gun violence is awful. And whether it comes through some kind of accidental situation or if it comes through someone who did this, you know, to me, quite frankly, as I've said on a number of occasions, I may have even said it yesterday's episode, intent's got nothing to do with all this. I mean, it really doesn't lessen the pain of a family that much. Well, you know, that's purely subjective. I can't really be in a position to say that. You know, how dare I, right? But, you know, does it really lessen the pain of someone to know that it was an accident? Or does that actually make it even worse for someone, knowing that their loved one has been taken because it's been an accident? Or does it make it worse that the loved one that they used to see all the time and contact and talk to on a very frequent or daily basis is no longer here because someone deliberately and intentionally did this? I mean, does it really make a difference to that family? I think what they're probably looking at is that there's a loss there that they're never, ever going to have that person in their life again. I don't know. Maybe that's just way out of bounds for me. Helena Hutchins, who, again, I can tell she really liked people. She really cared. There's some really lovely images here. So make sure you go and go to her website, please. And she's on social media, too. Click on these icons and you get her social media. And she's such a nice person, you know. It's just wonderful, really. You can tell. You can really tell. And so I am sad about this, as you know. When people pass here on this planet, and you can tell, I mean, obviously it goes without saying that she's a beautiful woman and she's good looking and all. I mean, yeah, of course, you know, and I recognize all that. That's not the point, though. I mean, of course, I admire it. Of course, there's no question about that. But that's got nothing to do with this. I mean, this is something that you have, this is life, you know, and I don't care if it's a person who makes art or if it's someone who's never painted a thing or never, you know, it's, that's not it. You know, I can tell that she loved life. If you look at her social media, you know, she loved life and she seemed to seek out people who did the same. She wanted to create. She was a creator. She was a creator. She was an artist. She was someone who, you know, she really cared. You can see it. And that's what we're left with here. You know, we're left with an artist at her very best who was cut down in her prime. Just 42 years of age. I mean, you're not, I mean, you haven't really begun to live yet at 42. You know, this is really sad stuff. So, Helena Hutchins. Man, oh man. This is immensely sad to me. So, I'm going to take a break here. And it's going to, before I do, just read off some of the titles, some of the things that she said about herself, at least in her Instagram account. She says, restless dreamer. These are the kinds of, you know, when you give yourself a bio for your social media. So hers is, and you can go to Instagram at Helena Hutchins, HALYNAHUT, as in Thomas, CHINS. And her bio says, restless dreamer, adrenaline junkie, cinematographer, ICG Local 600 Los Angeles, AFI Cinematography, represented by innovative artists. She was an artist. You can just look at her and you just see the way that she conveys the beauty and the essence of capturing art, capturing life. Oh boy, you know, these kinds of things are, well, her last message, one of the perks of shooting a Western is you get to ride horses on your day off. Oh boy. And now there's just lots of days off. Welcome back. And I'm so rude. You know, I didn't even say two very important things. One of them is, I am so sorry for the loss of Helena Hutchins. I would say that to her family. You know, I do send my deepest, most heartfelt condolences to her family. This is nobody can bear a loss like this. This is not how we struggle with these things. It's not even a question of can you get to the other side. It's can you get through a day? Can you get through an hour? Can you get through? It's difficult. It's just, to say the least, it's kind of tawdry to even say it's difficult. It's just kind of over. I don't know. It sounds glib. It sounds, oh dear. Well, her family is going to be feeling this for the rest of their lives. And everybody who knew Helena Hutchins, everybody who worked with her, everybody who came into contact with her, I must imagine came into contact with a really good, decent person. As I say, you can look at her photos on Instagram. You can look at her website. And you can tell that she's somebody who was really loved and really cared about life and cared about people and cared about exploring life and capturing life and capturing people in life, but capturing people living lives, living their lives, you know? And so, I don't think anything I can say or you can say, dear listener, will... Well, it just won't really make up for anything. It won't bring her back. It won't comfort the family any. I mean, the best that anyone who loses a loved one to gun violence anywhere on this planet can do is hope that justice will be done, you know? I mean, that's what I'm going to get to in the next block, but... I never knew Helena Hutchins. I don't know about her, and the first time I found out about her was... I guess it was October 21st or 22nd. That was just only, what, a few days ago now? I mean, 3 or 4 days ago, whatever. I don't know, you know? It's... She was killed on October the 21st, 2021. I mean, that's just, what, 3 days ago? You know, when I saw these tweets at the Popcorn R-E-E-L on my timeline there, and it's just... This is just really horrible. You know, anybody who perishes to gun violence. I've talked about how evil all of this is, you know, how we in this country just don't seem to care very much, you know, about gun violence. I mean, some of us do, of course. There are activist groups and people who work so damn hard to change all of this. And, you know, Sandy Hook and everything else, and no one, that didn't move any Republicans to do anything, did it, you know? But anyway, I am profoundly, as you can hear, very sorrowful about things like this, about any life taken like this, whether it's a 4-year-old child in a neighborhood somewhere here in the United States, or whether it's someone like Helena Hutchins, or whether it's, you know, whomever. It's all so sad. And I just really do want to, again, extend my profound and deepest, most heartfelt condolences to the family of Helena Hutchins. You know, she's just only 42. I mean, what? 42 years old? That's a young age. Honestly, that is young. I know some people will go, oh, no, it's not. It is young. 42 is really young. You know, that's young. It really is. And so, she had so much more, you know. Oh dear, rest in power, Helena Hutchins. Welcome back. Dear listener, you've just experienced those last 15 minutes or so, and it's difficult. It's really difficult, you know. I don't know how you deal with things like this, because all of us are going to experience, if we haven't already, loss in our lives. We're going to go through grief. We're going to go through the stages of grief. We're going to go through all of that, the guilt, the this, the anger, the deep pain. It's going to happen to all of us, you know. If we are around on this planet long enough, we will all experience that. There are a number of us who never have, right? Who never have or never did, because we were taken too soon. And the great many rest of us on the planet are going to experience this some way, somewhere, somehow. And so, you know, this is something that no one prepares for. Nobody prepares for this to happen, what happened to Helena Hutchins. And instantly, when I thought about it, I thought about Brandon Lee. Similar circumstances. You know, he died on set, and a gun was fired, and he was struck in the heart, I believe, or wherever he... on the set of the second Crow movie that was back in the 90s, I think it was. And as you know, Brandon Lee was the son of Bruce Lee. And Brandon Lee had a lot of good things going for him in the film career that had some promise to it. And he ascended and was going to ascend, and then he was cut down. You know, it's... these sets, I'm going to get to this, and you know, there's been other accidents that have taken lives. I think Vic Morrow on the Twilight Zone movie. I think he was killed in that movie. I think a helicopter blade or something hit him, struck him, I think, in his back or in his head and killed him instantly, I think. You know? Very sad. I mean, so there's been a long history with Hollywood and accidents. And there's been a long history of accidents or, people being killed on set and beyond, for many years. And I didn't even get to what happened to Helena Hutchins. In a way, after the last 15 or 16 minutes or so, I don't know if I even want to. But I must. As sad as things are, I must get to it. I'm looking at an article now. Came out today. Wendy Lee from the Los Angeles Times, a staff writer for that newspaper. And I'm going to read you. I'm going to read this to you. And please do bear with me. And bear with me on this. Please do. I'm going to get through this. It's not very long. I just want to read this to you. And I want you to... Well, let me just read it to you first before I say what I would like. This is an article by Wendy Lee entitled "Search Warrant Reveals Grim Details of Rust Shooting and Helena Hutchins' Final Minutes." Now, I will provide a warning. You may find this to be graphic. I personally don't think the descriptions are, but when you think about what happened and knowing what happened and that Helena Hutchins is no longer with us, you may find this to be upsetting. So I just want to give that particular proviso and advisory to you now. Actor Alec Baldwin was practicing removing a revolver from its holster and aiming toward the camera during rehearsal for the movie Rust when director Joel Souza heard, quote, what sounded like a whip and then a loud pop, end quote, according to a search warrant obtained by the Los Angeles Times on Sunday night that also provided grim new details about the final minutes of cinematographer Helena Hutchins' life. In the newly released document, Souza said someone identified the weapon as a, quote, cold gun, end quote, meaning it did not have any live rounds, but instead the gun discharged, striking Hutchins in her chest and Souza in his right shoulder, according to a Santa Fe County, New Mexico sheriff's detective's affidavit used to obtain a search warrant. Hutchins was pronounced dead at an Albuquerque hospital. Souza's statement to the detective offered a new window into the on-set shooting Thursday that has left Hollywood reeling and calling for safer working conditions on sets. The shooting took place after six members of the film's crew walked off the set after complaining to the production company about payment and housing, camera operator Reed Russell told Detective Joel Cano. The affidavit offered the most detailed chronology yet of an unfolding tragedy. The day started late because the production hired another camera crew and was working with only one camera, Souza told the detective. Souza said three people were handling the gun for the scene. Armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, then assistant director Dave Halls, who handed the gun to Baldwin, the affidavit said. Halls had taken one of the free THREE prop guns set up by Gutierrez-Reed on a cart left outside the structure because of COVID-19 restrictions, the affidavit said. Halls did not know live rounds were in the gun when he handed it to Baldwin, and Halls yelled, "Cold gun," according to the affidavit. Souza said cast and crew were preparing the scene before lunch, but then had a meal away from the rehearsal area around 12:30 p.m., according to the affidavit. When they returned, Souza said, he wasn't sure if the gun was checked again, the affidavit said. Quote, Joel said, as far as he knows, no one gets checked for live ammunition on their person prior and after the scenes are being filmed, quote. end quote. The affidavit said, quote, the only thing checked are the firearms to avoid live ammunition being in them. Joel stated there should never be live rounds whatsoever near or around the scene, end quote. When they came back from lunch, a creeping shadow prompted the camera to be moved to a different angle, Russell said in the affidavit. As Bolden was explaining how he was going to draw his gun and where his arm would be when he pulled the gun from the holster, it discharged, Russell said. Sousa said he was looking over Hutchins' shoulder when the gun discharged. Hutchins grabbed her midsection, stumbled backwards, and was, quote, assisted to the ground, end quote, Sousa told the detective. The search warrant said Russell recalled hearing a loud bang and seeing a bloody Sousa and hearing Hutchins say she couldn't feel her legs. The shooting came after two crew members raised concerns about safety conditions on set. Two Rust crew members told the LA Times that less than a week earlier, a stunt double had fired two accidental prop gun discharges after being told the gun was, quote, cold, end quote. Rust Movie Productions said in a statement that the safety of its cast and crew is, quote, the top priority, end quote, and it was not aware of official complaints raised about weapon safety and will conduct an internal review. On Sunday, the production company said it would shut down the film's production during the investigation, but did not rule out restarting. Hutchins' death follows other accidents that happened on TV and movie sets. Some in Hollywood and the greater community have called for sets to no longer have operational firearms, especially as muzzle fire could be added through post-production. A California state senator has announced plans to propose legislation to ban live ammunition and firearms capable of shooting live ammunition on Hollywood productions in California. That was Wendy Lee. She wrote that, which I just read out to you. She wrote it today. Search warrant reveals grim details of Rust shooting and Helena Hutchins' final minutes. I read that to you, dear listener, and I've read it now three different times. I read it twice, and I read it for the first time out loud. And the reason why I read it the previous two times is because, as an attorney, I want to just look at this. Because this spells trouble. And I'm going to be as respectful as I can. Because I don't buy it when people say, well, this is not the right time. I mean, I said this before, but I said this with the murder of Sir David Amess and with other situations. And in those situations, yeah, I guess you obviously have to be mindful and respectful of having some time. But with things like this, as horrible as this is, and as horrible, as sad as I am, pained about the untimely killing of Helena Hutchins, because she was killed. Right? That's a fact. She was killed. Now, I didn't say murder because murder is a legal term. It is a legal term, not an illegal term, a legal term. Right? So I've often said on this podcast, and you've heard me use the words murder. Oh, they murdered that brother or they murdered that sister. Right? I am using a legal term. Right? I am not using the term kill. I'm using the term in a legal sense. Right? So in this instance, Helena Hutchins was killed. Let's just have it absolutely right. And this, what I just read, that spells trouble. And I'm not saying it spells trouble because I'm defending or condemning. But I've got to say to you, if it is true, and affidavits, when they are sworn affidavits, you know, they're presumed to be factual. They're sworn. Under oath and sworn and signed and attested to. And if that is what is said in this affidavit, if that's true, that there were previous complaints on the set about safety, they are in trouble. And like I say, I'm not unhappy about that, and I'm not jumping up and down about that. But what I am saying is that someone needs to pay the piper on this, and it ain't going to only be Alec Baldwin. Right? Because I don't even want to, I haven't even spoken really about Alec Baldwin yet. But this piece jumps out at me. The shooting came after crew members, and this is crew members on the same film, raised concerns about safety conditions on the set. Two Rust crew members told the LA Times that less than a week earlier, a stunt double had fired two accidental prop gun discharges after being told the gun was cold. What part of that does anyone not understand? It was not aware, Rust Movie Productions was not aware of official complaints. Bloody, 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 bloody. Right? Who cares whether they were aware of them or not? I mean, that does matter. But if you see something in a story that tells you that there were crew members who had raised concerns about safety conditions on the set, who cares if Rust Movie Productions wasn't aware of a complaint, an official one? Were they aware of people raising concerns, whether they were in writing or not, whether they were made official or not? Were they not aware? I mean, you've got people now talking about they weren't surprised this happened. Then you've got people saying that this was coming. Then you've got people saying, well, I'm not working on it. I refuse to work on that movie. There was no way I was going to do it. It was bound to happen. I've been reading these kinds of things. How is it that we're not protecting people? How is it? When I read the last part of this, a California state senator has announced plans to propose legislation to ban live ammunition. Why are there guns anywhere firing live ammunition on a film set? Why? When is the article that Wendy Lee quite rightly states in her article that she wrote, you can add that in post-production. You can add it in post. You can add the sounds in post. Why do you have to actually have live rounds in it? I just don't understand that. I really don't understand that, dear listener. Can you help me? I'm at a loss at this. And you've had these killings before. Brandon Lee. How could nothing have been done anywhere? I don't care what state this happened. You know, I think Brandon Lee was also here in California. Died in California. I don't know. But I don't understand how. I mean, I can understand because there's a lot of profit and money and all this other stuff going on in the background of this. But I'm telling you, we have got to start putting people first. Before profit. And this notion that Alec Baldwin, I mean, there's trouble all over this thing. This notion that Alec Baldwin was practicing removing a revolver from his holster and aiming, I'm reading the words of Wendy Lee again here, toward the camera. What is he doing pointing a weapon toward a camera during rehearsal? Why didn't you just point your fingers? Now look, who's pointing a gun at a freaking camera during a rehearsal? Obviously where there are people there. It's not a camera that has nobody around it. It has people around it. Why is Alec Baldwin pointing a freaking firearm at a camera? I've not said anything about anything else. He shot and killed Helena Hutchins. Shot and killed her. There's no way around that. He did that. The question is going to be, well, there's going to be a lot of questions legally. The way this article is written, it suggests, Wendy Lee suggests, without saying it, but the picture is being painted of negligence. I think there's a case to be made, perhaps, for criminally negligent homicide. I don't think this is only a civil case. I mean, look, I don't think this is only a case where it's about, oh, somebody was just, you know, negligent. It's criminally negligent homicide. Why are you pointing a gun at a camera where obviously people were standing or people were stationary behind that camera? Obviously they were. They were looking at the shot through the camera. Let me not do that. One thing an attorney worth their salt should never do is speculate about facts. Now, I'm not an attorney that's ever practiced any criminal law. Now, I've interned in law firms with criminal law, you know, that had criminal law backgrounds. I've interned at district attorney's offices. I've interned in, private boutique law firms where there were legal cases and we did pro bono work. And so I know a little bit about that. And of course, you know, law school experience is another thing too. You know, you know about these things because you have hypotheticals and fact patterns that give you a certain level of information that you are to, with your legal brain, try to make legal arguments out of, pro and con, defend or for or against, you know, about the situation that the fact pattern presents. Here, this here is terrible. It's terrible. I mean, the fact that here that you're pointing a gun and aiming it toward a camera, and the person who, according to the director, did not check that gun again, the assistant director, Dave Halls, is giving a gun to Alec Baldwin, and he did not, and I'm talking about the assistant director, he didn't check it. He didn't know, according to the affidavit. Jeez. He didn't know that this gun had live rounds in it. And then he said it was a cold gun. Now, this is what the director's saying. I don't know what this assistant director, Dave Halls, is saying. I don't know. Is there going to be a rush to throw the AD under the bus? Not that he perhaps shouldn't be. Not that he should be. I'm just throwing this out here. Because I guess my focus is more questions than answers at this minute. This happened just, 3 days ago, October 21st. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that there is someone who is not here with us anymore. That's all I know. All I know is that Alec Baldwin killed this person who is not here with us anymore. He put out a statement on Twitter. And I think 2 days ago now, or maybe the day of. And he talked about how profoundly pained he was and how he was working and cooperating with police in the investigation. And he spent a lot of time with the husband of Helena Hutchins and everything else. And it's just a horrible situation. It really is. But horrible for that family, horrible, I guess, for everybody involved. But this just bugs me. It just bugs me. Even I'm just talking about this now from a legal standpoint and a factual one, right? If you want to establish a case for negligence, and forgive me here, I know, someone is going to find this to be very unseemly. And I apologize for it being that way. Why are you pointing a gun at a camera anyway? Weren't you taught at school, dear listener, that you never point a gun at anybody? You do not know whether it's loaded or whether it's not. And even if it's not loaded, you never point a gun at somebody. Never, ever, 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 ever. Ever, ever, ever. You know the only gun I've ever pointed at someone was a gun when I was 6 years old, a cap gun? One of them toy guns? Hey, Tamir Rice pointed a gun at nobody, and he was murdered. He was 14 years old, and the police pointed real guns at him and killed him within a second and a half. Like 1.1 seconds. Jeez, that's murder. That's an execution. I just don't know. See, that's my one question there. Why are you pointing a gun directly at a camera or in the direction of a camera? I don't think that makes sense. That would bother me. One, right? Whether he was told or not, whether Alec Baldwin was told or not, that bothers me. Pointing a gun. Why don't you point your finger? And then why don't you double check the gun? Right? I would be asking, Mr. Baldwin, did you ever check that gun? I'd be asking the assistant director, did you ever check that gun again? Right? Negligence, recklessness, reckless endangerment. There could be lots of other things. Charges, right? Criminally negligent homicide. Mr. Baldwin, do you own guns? Yes, I do. Well, Mr. Baldwin, do you own guns at home? And I don't know if he does or not. I'm just playing with a hypothetical. Yeah, I do own guns at home. Again, I want to stress, I don't know if Alec Baldwin owns guns or if he doesn't. This is a hypothetical. It is not a reflection on whether or not Alec Baldwin does own guns. This is a hypothetical. And how long have you owned those guns for, Mr. Baldwin? Well, about 5 years now. Do you use those guns on occasion? Well, occasionally. Do you have anyone else residing in your home? By any chance? Yeah, I do. Yeah. How many people? Well, one or two. Really? My wife and da-da-da-da. Have you ever used a firearm in your wife's presence? Have you used one in your home? Have you ever taken a firearm out and done so in your home? Objection. Well, let me rephrase the question. Do you have guns in your home? Yes. Has your wife had occasion to ever see those guns? Yes. Where are your guns? Well, they're kept in a... Well, no. Where are they? Are they in the basement? Are they locked up? Where are they? Do you have easy access to them? Does your wife have easy access to them? Have you ever taken out one of these guns in her presence? Objection. Prejudicial. The judge, right? The judge is actually agreeing. No, the prejudicial is the count for the would-be defense attorney, right? In this hypothetical, judge says, sustain. Well, Mr. Baldwin, what I'm trying to ask you is, you've used a gun before, sir. Yes, I have. Well, do you point a gun toward a mirror in your home? Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever pointed a gun in the direction of a person in your home? Have you ever pointed a gun in the direction of your wife? Objection. Sustained. Well, let me withdraw. Mr. Baldwin, have you ever pointed a gun in your home at something? Well, what do you mean? Well, have you ever pulled out your gun and pointed it as if you were going to shoot it? And have you done that in your own home? Well, no, I've not really. I've done that at... No, Mr. Baldwin, that's all I'm asking you. I object. Overruled. Well, Mr. Baldwin, if you've never pointed a gun in your home at anything, whether loaded or not loaded, can I ask you about the events of October 21st, 2021? Did you ever point a gun before? What was the standard that was expected? What were the rules about that on this set? Have you ever been on movie sets before where people point guns? Is there a standard of conduct that you are expected to adhere to as a performer? Or did you do this on your own? Because, Mr. Baldwin, we've seen that someone's lost their life here. How would you know if there's live rounds in there or not? And if someone told you that the rounds were not live, it was a cold gun, do you think you had the responsibility to check if it were a live gun or not, Mr. Baldwin? Would you not want to? Especially when there have been other crew members who have expressed concerns about safety, Mr. Baldwin. You get the idea, dear listener, where I'm going with that. And those are some of the things that the attorneys who get involved in this are going to be wrestling with. They're going to be wrestling with rules. They're going to be wrestling with conduct. They're going to be wrestling with practices, industry standards, duty of care. They're going to be wrestling with the safety concerns that were expressed by crew members. They're going to be wrestling with standards of reasonableness. They're going to be wrestling with recklessness and possibly, again, as I say, criminally negligent homicide. These things are all going to be part of the mix, in my view. How far away was Alec Baldwin from the camera? How far away was he? If you're pointing a gun at a camera or in the direction of it or toward it, whatever, you're pointing it at a camera in the vicinity, right? And if you obviously know there's obviously people around the camera, how close was he to the camera? How close was he to the people, to Helena Hutchins, to the director Joel Souza? He got hit by the live round. But it was Helena Hutchins who was killed by that live round that Alec Baldwin discharged. This is the thing. And there's so many other questions. And I think I'm going to just leave those other questions because they're going to come up. There's so many of them. I've just put a few out on the table. I don't think this movie should restart, by the way. I don't think it should. I think that the best thing to do is to take the loss on the cost and eat that money. I know there are films in the past that have continued. I know the Twilight Zone movie continued. I know that the Crow movie continued. The Crow 2, I think it was part 2, yeah, with Brandon Lee, that continued. There's been a million movies that when someone's died or been killed, but you know, they've done all kinds of things to continue the movie. They did this with Philip Seymour Hoffman in the Hunger Games movies when he died, and then they put in these scenes that he had already shot, and then they did some other things to cover that and did coverage and whatever else. They've done this with so many people. Carrie Fisher, I remember, clearly in the Star Wars movies with J.J. Abrams, I think, directing the last one, most recent one. They put in scenes of her that were shot or left out, or that were, and then they did holograms of her, they all kind of Carrie Fisher I'm talking about. There's so many things, and Carrie Fisher died a few years ago now. And it wasn't in a situation like this that happened to Helena Hutchins. I'm just simply saying that Hollywood has made all kinds of things happen after someone has passed. And so I don't understand why, again, the three things, the pointing of the gun, and how far, because that's what the lawyers are going to talk about. If this ever goes to a criminal, goes to a trial, civil trial definitely will, but if it goes to a criminal trial, or, you know, these questions are going to be asked. What are the protocols of guns on that set? You got people who are going to be saying, well, look, you know, we really don't feel safe on this set. You've already had a situation where a stunt double fired a live round after being told it was a cold gun. That happened just a few days before Helena Hutchins was killed. And that assistant director definitely is in the crap here. So there's so much. And the net effect of all of this is that someone died. Someone was killed. And that really is the enduring, painful thing. Everybody has some blood on their hands here, including Alec Baldwin. This is a very, very, very sad time for the family of Helena Hutchins. And I just pray that they are able to go through one day at a time and make it to the other side. I am really sad about this loss, as I am any loss of life, and especially to gun violence. If you want to get involved with fighting for a country and a world without guns, and certainly a country with less guns, please do so. You know, please do so. There's so many organizations. I think of Every Town for Gun Safety. I think of Mums Demand Action. I think of a number of other organizations. I really want you to join one and make it count, you know. Donate, volunteer, get involved, please. We need a safer world. We need a world with far less guns in it. I'm not saying abandon and have no guns at all. I'm saying get rid of all these assault weapons, and I'm saying let's have gun sense legislation, right? Let's do that, because too many lives are being lost. In California, here in California, let's get rid of having guns at movie sets. That's just so freaking ridiculous. I don't even know where to start. California, of all states, should know better than this after all the history we've had with guns and gun violence. My goodness me. Rest in power, Helena Hutchins. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.